Hey, Trailhead Church, happy Easter.
Thank you for joining with me today.
With me, with us, in our treehouse. All right, let's do this. Well, hey, Trailhead, you know, this is a special day. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our celebration. And this is something we love so much.
This is the best day ever.
Yes.
Worshiping God, thanking the Lord for who He is, that Jesus is alive.
Yes. So we really, as odd as this place is, we wanted to bring you to our home, in our house, and our treehouse.
We don't live in this treehouse. I just need to make sure they know that.
No, we do not live in this treehouse. No. Our children do.
Yes.
So that's where we throw them out at. But
Josh really built this treehouse for himself.
Yes. I always wanted a treehouse this large, and I finally accomplished it.
You did it.
I did it. How fun is this? Hey, you know, we love you guys and so thankful that you allow us into your homes this morning. This is a blessing for us and we love you guys. You guys are just, man, your compassion, your love, everything we've been receiving online, all the things we've been hearing about your faithfulness in the Word, rejoicing and worshiping. Man, it's just been tremendous.
We're church family.
Yeah.
That's what this looks like, the body of Christ, that we're able to come together. And we know that God has a word for you today. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord is that the spirit realm knows no distance. What does that mean? That means that God is doing a work right where we're at today.
Right.
Because He's faithful and He's God and He's given us Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so as we get into the Word, I know we're going to get into offering here in just a second, and so our tithes and our offerings, but make today sacrificial before the Lord.
Yeah.
Grab your Bibles, get your prayer journals, because the Lord is going to minister just a word in season for right where you are at, and out of that we're going to see growth, and we're going to see beautiful fruit and transformation take place by the power of God.
Yeah. But before we do all of that, I have a challenge I want all of us to partake in. Because here's the deal, let's be honest. None of you are dressed up as much as my wife and I right now. We would love to see your Sunday best right now. Get your phone, turn around, take a selfie, and hashtag Trailhead Sunday Best.
Nice.
I want to see what you guys look like this morning. This was a little hard for me to get dressed up. I've been in sweatpants and t-shirts all for the past few weeks now. It's been amazing putting these jeans on, you know? It wasn't easy. So I want to see your Sunday best.
Sunday best.
So again,
I like it.
Hashtag Trailhead Sunday Best. I want to see them. We may even repost them. And that might discourage you, actually. We won't.
We're keeping it real.
Yes. So Sunday best. We want to see it. All right. With that said, offering time. Guys, this is so much fun to worship our Lord with our offering, our best, our first fruits, our tithes.
Yeah.
Guys, that's what it's all about. You know, because of your generous giving, you guys are so awesome. You know, what's been great is our church has been able to reach out to our community in multiple ways. And one of those I want to highlight is that we had a blood drive with the Red Cross. We actually had 41 people give blood. That was above what our goal was, and we actually maxed out that day. We were putting people in slots, and so that was so cool. But we're actually teaming up with the Red Cross again. We're going to do another blood drive. We don't have that date nailed down just yet, but we'll keep you posted on that. But I mean, guys, this is all because of our generosity that we've been able to reach out to the community because of what you guys are doing. So I want to thank you for that. All the food that's been coming in so that we can help support our local elementary schools, it's been tremendous. So.
And we're seeing so much work being accomplished at our new facility.
Yeah.
And we can't wait for that facility, our new church warehouse, to be complete, that we all will be able to come back together as one, and it's going to be beautiful. And so every seed that you sow, you're sowing into good soil, into fertile soil And we sow because we love God, but also we know that God is blessing us, that God is faithful. And he says to actually prove now, right? To test him in this.
Yeah.
As you sow, what are you believing God for today? We know many of you, all of us right now, are being stretched. And God is our provider, and he's going to take care of every single need because that's who he is. He's faithful.
Right. So there's multiple ways to give. You can go to trailhead.church and select the giving tab. Or you can go to your smartphone right now and text the number. I'm going to make sure I get it completely correct here. It is 336-600-1182. You can just in the message type the dollar amount to that number, 336-600-1182, text, and there you go, and it'll all be set up.
That's awesome.
So we are done.
You gonna pray over the offering?
Yeah, let's pray over the offering. Let's do that. Let's do it. God, we thank you for this offering, God, that it comes in and blesses the socks off, Lord, our church, Lord, that we can go out and continue to minister the gospel, to get the word out to everyone that's far from you. God, we thank you for these creative opportunities that we've had to minister to people right where they are. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, God, that you continue to continue to bless and pour out, Lord, your love, your mercy, your grace on everyone in our church. God, I thank you that many people in this room right now, they're feeling an uncertainty of what's next. But God, we know, Lord, that you have a plan. And so, God, we thank you for this. God, that we are not going to go without. Lord, that you are our provider. And so, Lord, we stand on that. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
So that leads me into our message, seizing the moment. This hit me hard a few weeks ago. I thought, seizing the moment. I want to seize every moment. Right now, we're living in a state where we want to forget it all. Like, we want to ignore what's going around us. But that's not realistic, right? We need to recognize where we are and grab a hold of it and seizing this moment. But we wanted to teach you God's way of seizing the moment. He's got a plan. And that's what brings me to his word. You can never go wrong.
That's right. Get your Bibles. Word. I brought two Bibles today.
Yes, you did. My wife. Here we go. So let me ask the question, do I know what's next? Some of you guys, I've had phone calls, text messages from individuals within our church, and they're asking the question, you know, Pastor Josh, what's going to happen? What's next? And what's God doing? And do I know what's next? No, I don't. I don't know. But that's okay. You know, I have a God that in the midst of anything that's happening, he is my assurance. He is my steadfast. He is my foundation, and I'm not going to be worried. All of those things will depart, they'll fly away, they'll burn up, and it doesn't matter. My God is still there, and that's what's so beautiful about him. So do I know? No, I don't, and that's okay, because here's what I do know. I don't see the whole picture. I don't see the whole picture. We have a God that's the Alpha and the Omega. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all the time. He goes beyond time.
He goes before us. He comes behind us.
Right. So this is a beautiful picture. So this leads me to Habakkuk 1. And in Habakkuk 1, you'll see that Habakkuk actually begins to ask questions to God. God, I'm praying. I am seeking your voice, and I'm hearing nothing back. Isn't that how you guys feel right now? Some of you may be feeling this way. You know, I'm praying. I'm doing what all the religious teachers are telling us to do. Pray. But I'm not getting an answer from God. Well, guess what? In Habakkuk 1:5, this is God's response to Habakkuk. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Isn't that great? Man, I love it. I believe right now that God is about to do something that you would not believe. Even if he told you, I believe that God is doing something right now. And it is not for us to be fearful. It's us to stand on faith and be patient and to be waiting and be watching. You know, that leads me to the women with the oil in their lamps, right? The readiness of this, to be ready for what God's about to do. To not just sit back and be, well, when the time comes, then we'll go get the oil. No. We need to have the oil in our lamps. We need to be ready for what God's about to do.
And I, you know, I love that he says that you would not believe even if he told you. That's in that moment, that waiting, that patient endurance. Right now, that perseverance before the Lord of God, I am waiting. I am persevering right now. Lord, I'm going to do everything that you've called me to do in this moment. And in reading forward with the book of Habakkuk, we see in chapter 2 that Habakkuk actually goes to his prayer tower and he waits for God to give him an answer. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord responds. That's what's beautiful about God. Yeah. And then that takes me to Habakkuk chapter 3. And the reason why I have my big dual translation Bible here is because I wanted to read just this praise, this prayer of praise that Habakkuk says in chapter 3. Because it's beautiful that in this moment of seizing the day, whenever you think, I don't know what's going on, God, what are you doing? But what it looks like to take those limitations off. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 17, though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. This is a choice right now. This is a part of what we're choosing to do in not knowing what's next, but in knowing that God has the whole plan, that he has the whole picture. So the Lord is my strength, verse 19, my personal bravery and my invincible army. I really like that.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk. You know, he says that twice, that it's a forward motion here, that we're moving forward with God, not standing still in terror, not hiding like you said in the beginning, or pretending like nothing's wrong, or, right. or being numb to what's taking place. No, this is a movement today, moving with God, and make spiritual progress. Don't you want to make spiritual progress right now?
For sure.
I believe that's what God's doing in our homes and our families. You know, Josh and I, we're being stretched together in our marriage right now, and we're growing together, and we're seeking God's face, just like Habakkuk did in chapter 2. We're getting a vision for this time and a vision for our children right now, for what he's calling us to do and being a witness and a testimony. And he says, upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. He says that he's going to help us to walk and make spiritual progress on high places, in those places of trouble. If you're in trouble right now, if you've been suffering, or you're just, you have so much responsibility.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us can say we have so much new responsibility right now that we're looking and we're like, God, when is this going to be done? Lord, what is taking place right now? And that takes us to number one of how we embrace today, how we seize the moment.
How do we seize the moment? It's knowing God has a plan.
That's right.
It's knowing God has a plan, that we don't know what's happening, but God does. And God's gonna inform us. So just not in the sense of sit back and relax, but it's be ready. Be watchful.
That's right.
Be excited about what God's about to do. Don't get downcast. Don't get discouraged, but get excited. Renew your strength. You know, Isaiah 41, right? The eagle and the wind and the wings and all of that good stuff. It's knowing, man, God's renewing us. And that's that. This is that time right now.
Yeah.
So that gets us to, actually, we just told you point one. We're going to tell you point two right now. God is guiding you through this plan. Yeah. So, you know, in Philippians 4, everyone knows Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Well, guess what? 10, 11, and 12 give us good insight, even for today's particular circumstances. So in verse 10 in Philippians chapter 4, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He can do all these things. Yeah. No, the lack, the plenty and all, because he has the strength of God. And that's so good. Now, Anna, you brought up when we were discussing this, Philippians chapter 3.
You know, whenever we think about seizing the day and God having a plan for us, and then him guiding us through this plan. Here we are, it's Easter Sunday, and this plan begins and ends with Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And what I love about Philippians chapter 3 before this, because, you know, Paul, I'm talking about being content and God being his strength. I like in the Amplified, it's one of my favorite scriptures, what you just read, but it says a strength infusion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's God guiding you through your day, giving you an infusion of strength with right where you're at of what you need help with today. But knowing, this is a knowing the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's able to guide us whenever we know him and we surrender our lives to him. You all, this is the perfect moment to make Jesus Lord over your home. And that begins with making Jesus Lord over your own heart. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to read here. I just want to read verse 10, actually. And it says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts over believers." Think about that power. The very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is guiding you into all truth today, is waking you up in your home today, is breathing life into you today. That's God guiding us. That's how we seize today. Then he says, "that I may so share his sufferings to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible," verse 11, "I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body." What's he talking about here? That even when I'm suffering, what I'm doing in the middle of this and suffering within Christ Jesus is that I am dying to self and more fully relying on God, on the power of Jesus Christ at work on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Are you fully relying that for God to guide you today?
Right.
Has God been guiding you in, let's just break this down in basics. In your everyday living, are you listening to his voice? Because that's what it looks like to know him.
Right. And then his promises are so evident in throughout the word. So because we're talking about God is guiding you through this plan, he's given us promises. So in Isaiah 41:10, I'm going to read one of these promises. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." So this is so great about promises, because in 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." There you go, guys. This is so good for us to realize that God's promises are yes and amen. So this leads us to our third point. The third point is God's plan is always good. It's life. It's yes and amen. Yeah. It's good.
That's right. It's good.
Yeah.
We got to focus in on the life of Christ today.
Yeah.
This is every day. It's not just Easter. Mm-mm. How sad that so many just wait until Easter to think about the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
This is every day of our lives.
Yeah, but here's something key, and this is where we're going to wrap it up for you guys. Seizing the moment is not a bucket list of selfish needs and desires. Seizing the moment is not just, hey, I'm going to seize this moment and relax and rest and kick back. Seizing the moment is accomplishing God's will. So when Anna and I were talking about this whole message, she said something that was so good. And this is back to where Jesus is on the cross.
So often we think about seizing the moment as, you know, what can I do today? When really it's, no, God, what do you have for me to do today? When we look at Jesus and his life and how he seized the moment, I mean, he's our greatest example. Every single day he sees the moment, but he continually reminded us that I'm not doing my will, but the will of the Father. That's how we seize today, is that we choose to do the will of the Father. Jesus is our prime example, that every day he sees the moment to lay hands on the sick, to minister to the lost and the hurting, to go to Zacchaeus's house, right? To, hey, Zacchaeus, get out of that tree. I'm coming to your house today, to take that time. To seize every moment, to do what? To do what the Heavenly Father had instructed him to do. That is seizing the moment. It's not your agenda. This isn't my agenda.
No.
When we get stuck on our own agenda, then we start looking at what everyone else is doing, and we start comparing, and we become critical. And this is where it opens up the door for all of the wrong opinions. When we're not concerned about what man has to say, we're concerned about what God has to say and what his voice is speaking into our lives today, so that we can just be a disciple of Christ and to truly follow him. Yeah. Seizing the moment is allowing God's resurrection power to breathe life into your marriage today. Mm-hmm. Maybe seizing the moment is, God, what is your will? Lord, do I need to repent before you and ask for forgiveness? In my own home. God, what do I need to shut down today? I told Josh, I said, Josh, I feel like so many people are afraid of dying with this virus, but, and this is a bold statement, but you're not afraid. You don't have a true fear of dying in sin.
Yeah.
You don't have a true fear of what you're letting in into your home each day. And let's just get real here. The realness is that to seize the moment for today is to say, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. And we see Matthew in chapter 26, and this is throughout the Gospels. We see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you can read all about this starting in verse 36. But he says it twice. You know, he went through suffering. He went through everything he went through was for our suffering. It was for this moment right here that he sees this moment of, God, if this cup, you know, could pass from me. He says it in verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He prayed it again in verse 42. And what were the disciples doing during this time?
Well, the disciples were supposed to be watching and praying, but instead they were sleeping. And it's one of those sad moments because I think we're... in hindsight 2020, we all think that we'd be wide awake, right? But that's not the case. Human nature, as far as just kind of, again, they didn't realize. This is back to what we were talking about, seizing that moment. They didn't realize the magnitude that they found themselves in. So instead, they just allowed the nature of man to come in and just, I'm going to fall asleep. Instead, Jesus was encouraging them, watch, pray. You know, he needed that out of them more than anything. And I think this is the time right now God is calling us out to watch and pray.
And to truly say, God, not our will, but your will. What is the Lord asking of you today? Is this something that we're asking ourselves?
Yeah.
Within this. Listen, we're not perfect. This isn't every day. You know, God is doing a good work in us. He's completing this work in us in Christ Jesus. But this is choosing to lay it down before him.
Yeah.
To know that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that power lives on the inside of you. And it's dying to self and becoming a disciple of Christ and saying, God, your will be done in my life.
Yeah.
So you want to seize the moment. You know, right now, here we're home. This is what this looks like. So what do you want it to look like?
Yeah. I'm excited yeah. about what God's going to do. You know, I'm excited to grab hold of this and not be in fear, but be in faith. And this is just a great opportunity for the church, not just Trailhead Church, but our church, God's church.
That's right.
To prepare themselves, to repent, to let go of the hate and the turmoil and the offense, but to allow God to come in and just transform our lives. And we're going to be stronger than ever before coming out of this. So I want to open up that opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
If you need Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you've never asked him to come in, this is that moment. receive Jesus in your life, just say the prayer, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner, and I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe in the power, the wonder-working miracle power of the resurrection that took place 2,000 plus years ago, and the bloodshed, his body being broken on the cross, so that, Lord, I can be washed in white as snow, presented to you, Lord, not in a position of shame, but Lord, in a position of grace and love and hope and mercy. So God, right here, just pray that prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I'm excited.
We want to know if you prayed that prayer.
Yes.
Please contact us because, listen, we've got some stuff we want to send you. We have a prayer team that they want to hook up an agreement with you.
Yeah.
You know, that goes to this of just the excitement that you're saying. I feel like we need to read this set of scripture. John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
He who believes in him, verse 18, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, God didn't send Jesus for us to walk around in condemnation. But he sent Jesus that we might have life and life in abundance. This is a message of life.
Yeah.
This time of going before the Lord and praying that prayer of consecration and giving your life over to Christ. Man, this is the greatest day of your life.
Yeah.
This is where it all begins.
So I'm going to pray. And guys, this is just, it's a glorious day. This is a time when we're done, find a place today and rejoice in knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, as we've consecrated ourselves, Lord, we have repented, we've given our lives over to you. God, we rejoice in knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. And Lord, we rejoice in knowing, Lord, that you have defeated the grave and you live, Lord, on our behalf. So God, we thank you for this. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Have a good Easter, guys.
We love you all.